Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, along with Jim Garrity of National Review, who is also the author of The Weed Agency, which officially releases on Tuesday. So if you don't have your advanced copy, today's your last day to get the advanced copy. Tomorrow you can just go to the bookstore and pick it up. But why would you want to wait that long? Get it now. Jim is doing his job as a reporter. He joins us on the road today by phone. And so Jim will have much more to say about the book tomorrow and in the days to come. The big story that seems to be getting weirder and odder by the day is the release of now Sergeant Bo Bergdahl, who had been a captive for the past 5 years by the Taliban in Afghanistan. We learned over the weekend that he was being freed. The president had a ceremony in the Rose Garden with Bergdahl's parents, and it looked like this was a great triumph, especially showing that the administration seemed to be concerned about people in uniform after just headaches and headaches and years of troubles with the VA system that finally exploded with the Shinseki resignation on Friday. Then you have, of course, the way that this story keeps unfolding. First, we find out that there are 5 hardened Taliban fighters, at least one of which has close ties or had close ties to Al-Qaeda, being released in exchange for Bergdahl. Then we find out that Congress was not given the 30 days to review the release of the Guantanamo detainees, potentially breaking the law there. Then we have the situation that Bergdahl's father seems to be at least a Taliban sympathizer, if not a jihadi sympathizer. Then there's the news that Bergdahl basically deserted his unit based on the testimony of those who knew him when they were in the same unit with him. And we're seeing Chuck Hagel, as we'll hear a little bit later, saying that this was not negotiating with terrorists. And oh, by the way, the Daily Beast is reporting this might be the tip of the iceberg for the administration, releasing all these Gitmo detainees and finally honoring their promise to close the facility. So major roller coaster here.
It is. And so when we were discussing it, we kind of said, look, this is good, bad, and crazy news all at the same time. Let's take a brief moment to feel happy about this and say, look, anytime an American who has been in enemy hands comes home, it is good news. Even if there's serious questions about his mentality and what was he going on there, it is important for every American soldier to know we're never going to forget you. We are never going to leave you behind and all that stuff, and to say that we will do whatever it takes to get you back. We owe that to our soldiers, and even if there's, you know, even if there's something wrong with you, even if there's something odd, every last soldier deserves every commitment we can make to bring them home safe and sound. Now, with that said, this story got really odd and weird very quickly, and the first thing being that the idea that we had given up 5 guys, and it sounds like these were not, you know, flunkies, that these were fairly high-level guys, in exchange for releasing one of our guys. I'm assuming these guys are not being secretly injected with some sort of biometric tracer or something, so they'll be able to follow them once they're released or something, and then drone them and all of their buddies. You know, like, look, these guys are dangerous in a ordinary circumstances. They'd be behind bars for the rest of their lives. Putting them out there, it's kind of fascinating to think the administration, we've seen people released from Gitmo go straight back to the terrorism business. So it does seem like we've made the world more dangerous in exchange for bringing home one of our guys. And I don't think, you know, this is probably a good example of the cynicism of the Obama administration and its allies. If they make this move, then I think any rational person could say, okay, there's some benefits and some drawbacks. The moment you start talking about those drawbacks, you know, can you believe Republicans are politicizing the release of a POW? Republicans are complaining about it. Oh, we're not complaining. We're all happy this guy's back. But we are not happy about the circumstances. And I don't think it's, if they had demanded releasing everybody from Gitmo, would we have given them that? If they'd, you know, demanded the release of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, would we have given him, you know, that guy? There is such a thing as a bad deal. And I don't think it's outrageous to suggest that, you know, even if Bergdahl was the quintessential perfect soldier and there are no questions about him, a 5-for-1 trade seems like a very steep price to pay.
Yeah, it certainly is the case, and a lot of frustration with the fact that the president seems to have flouted the law again. The explanation for that, of course, is that Chuck Hagel, the defense secretary, saying that they believe Bergdahl's health to be in peril and declining quickly, and so they didn't have the 30 days to give Congress the review. They had to act if this was going to get done. Hagel appeared on Meet the Press with David Gregory on Sunday. And Gregory asked him, does this now give incentive for the Taliban and others to target other American soldiers, knowing they can extract a pretty steep price from the United States government in exchange for releasing that soldier? Hagel said this was a prisoner exchange. It was not negotiating with terrorists. And then he had this to say about whether this puts our troops in further danger.
And I don't think what we did in getting our prisoner of war released in any way would somehow encourage terrorists to take our American serviceman prisoner or hostage.
So, Jim, I think Chuck Hagel is coming to a conclusion that a lot of people are not coming to.
Yeah, first of all, I can't believe he's saying this is not negotiating with terrorists. Once you put a deal on the table, and they either accept it or they don't, or they put a deal, you know, like at that point, it is. I don't understand how, you know, at that point, we're getting into the Clintonian, well, I guess it depends on how you define negotiating, kind of disingenuousness. But then the next thing, I guess one thing we can kind of slip under the good martini category, having spoke to some folks who've been in the military out here, the Taliban has always been trying to capture our guys. They've always known that there was an incentive to do this long before this deal came along. The good news is it's very hard to capture an American soldier. Some of the folks who have recently won Medals of Honor, you know, awards and things like that, is because when our guys come under fire and there's a danger of somebody getting captured, these guys do whatever the heck it takes to make sure that somebody doesn't, for very obvious reasons. Going back to the incident in Somalia with Black Hawk Down, when they had some of our guys captured, contact was made with the folks who were holding them. And if you want to characterize this as negotiating with terrorists, it basically was, if you don't release our guys, we're going to level Somalia. We will do whatever it takes to get our guys back, and there will not be much of this city left. And at that point, the guys were released. So if that's negotiating with terrorists, I guess I can live with that category of negotiation, making air quotes there. So the good news is we should not expect... I don't know if you can say this has really increased the incentive for the Taliban, since they've always had this sort of incentive. Having said that, for anybody who takes on Americans for the remainder of this administration, the precedent has been set. And if there's, you know, if we ever capture another major terrorist again, and it certainly seems like this administration may not be interested in that, because then you have to send them to Gitmo, and you face all the legal problems for an administration that spent, you know, years and years denouncing Guantanamo Bay and the Bush administration for this sort of thing. We just drone kill them. That we, you know, there'll be a seeking an effort to get their guys out by emulating this deal over and over again. Again, I can't help a sneaking suspicion that this deal, as wonderful it is for Bo's family, may not be something that necessarily makes the world a safer place in the years to come.
Jim, two other things just to get your commentary on briefly. Number one is the interesting, to say the least, comments of Bergdahl's father, including a now-deleted tweet that suggested one of his main goals going forward is to get the rest of the detainees released from Guantanamo. And the other is that there are reports out there, including from the Daily Beast and others, that this is just the tip of the iceberg, and the administration plans to release the rest of the Guantanamo detainees, and we don't even have any other American prisoners of war to negotiate over. So you got to wonder what the terms of anything like that would be.
Yeah. On the one hand, I have no doubt that if your child has been taken and is in captivity to a group like the Taliban, that can, you know, grief and fear and all that, you know, God knows what that can do to the mind. So I have a very hard time judging or blaming his father for some odd behavior, including apparently his statement at the White House press garden that I think it was in some foreign language and took a lot of people by surprise. It's, you know, you kind of wonder what the White House is doing. You know, that's an emotionally volatile situation there. I think they wanted a beautiful photo op, and it didn't quite go as they hoped. But now over time, there's a lot more stuff coming to light from those who served with them, not some, you know, crazy voice on the internet saying that Bo had very, you know, was not saying the sort of things you'd expect an American soldier to say in emails back to his parents before he disappeared. Also, the circumstance, like, you know, I heard some people saying he was lost in combat. No. Apparently, it sounds like he was at his post and then he wasn't, and there was great suspicion and eyewitness reports that he had basically left his post. Some odd questions about the mentality of this man. I assume the military and investigators will get to the bottom of this and clear all this up, but it's a very different story when you're giving up five dangerous terrorists for a guy who has been, you know, loyally serving his country, versus a guy who walked away and who kind of assumed some of this risk upon himself. And obviously, you know, we're now hearing reports that, look, Americans died looking for this guy, and that you know, like a very steep price was paid even before this deal for this man. And at some point, you got to wonder. It's very tough for any of us to say whether that price was worth it. It's almost Saving Private Ryan. How much are you willing to pay to save one man? You know, a lot of very steep questions for this. And you hate to look at this so cynically, but this is an administration that, having gotten just in trouble, you know, enormous trouble for the VA scandal, wanted a happy story, wanted a success story. And the more we learn about this, it raises all those same questions about this administration, about a certain amount of recklessness and lack of long-term thinking in the name of winning a news cycle.
Jim, it's going to be very interesting. Politics, to some extent, has already been injected in here. Real quick, do you think Republicans run a political risk by focusing on the fact that the president bypassed the law and gave away five high-ranking figures, or is that going to be a political dead end?
I don't know whether this is something that the party needs to necessarily turn into a national crusade, but I think it's perfectly fair to question these sorts of things and say, wait a minute, Mr. President, this is a very risky policy to enact, to be taking dangerous people and putting them back on the street. There's a reason that you're usually supposed to consult with Congress. This fits a pattern of this administration simply ignoring Congress when it doesn't want to. You know, as we learn more about this guy, if it turns out that he did desert or that he, you know, like, but boy, that's really going to be it's a different story, and it colors the whole thing. So we'll see how this shakes out. I think this, you know, just learn more information, get the information out there, and let's see if this is as bad as we fear. And if it is, then the administration will pay a steep political price. All they need to be doing is asking the right questions and seeing what the answers are from the military community.
Jim, we'll talk to you tomorrow on release day. Talk to you then.
Looking forward to it, Greg. Thanks very much.
Jim Garrity of National Review. He's also the author of The Weed Agency, which becomes available in bookstores tomorrow. You can still pre-order your copies today. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us on Tuesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.